The reading this morning is taken from the second book of Corinthians, chapter 4, starting at verse 5. You can find that on page 1160 of the Church Bibles. That's 2 Corinthians. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Is that okay?
Yep.
Good. Today we begin a new series in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. It was during his second missionary journey that he established a church in Corinth, a strategic port in the middle of ancient Greece. Now, so many bits of technological equipment here. Got the right one here. So I put that one on. And I can move this on a bit. There it is, Corinth, right in the middle of the map there. Isn't that good? So we know where we are. This is the people to whom Paul is writing. 2 Corinthians is perhaps the most intensely personal of all Paul's letters. We feel the weight of his burden for the church, the depth of his love for them, and the anguished concern for their spiritual progress. We see in personal terms the cost of his missionary program: hardship, suffering, deprivation, humiliation, almost beyond human endurance. And we see his unshakable faith shining through it all, transforming every circumstance. So if you'd like to turn back to the passage we had originally, 1160, I believe it was, in the Bible. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. And I'm focusing on this verse 7. We have this treasure in jars of clay, or earthen vessels, the translation with which some of us are a little more familiar with. What is this treasure and why is it so valuable? I have a treasure box here. It's a Victorian box, which I bought with my own money about age 15. It came from an antique shop in Dorking somewhere, and it cost me all of £1.50. Now, you might be able to see that, in fact, one of the hinges is completely absent. And so it was not much good as far as security was concerned. But only it's got a simple pattern on the lid, but apart from that, it's pretty ordinary. However, in this box, I kept my treasures, and one of them has survived to this day. It's a medallion from the Greek island of Rhodes, which I visited when I was a teenager. Now, on one side is a carving of a deer, the symbol of the island of Rhodes. And for me, it represents one of the best parts of the cruise which I went on with Aberdour School all those years ago. A very precious memory indeed. But it's in a very ordinary box. Now, the treasure referred to in our passage today can't be seen, it can't be shown, It can't be handled in quite the same way. But this treasure is priceless and unending. The first clue is at the end of verse 4. The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The gospel brings light. It reveals truth, wisdom, and understanding. Above all, it points to Christ, the most valuable treasure of all. Now, do you remember the story about 20 years ago of the man with the amateur metal detector who came across a hoard of 126 rare Roman coins? I believe it made him a very rich man. Now, Jesus told a story about a man who also discovered treasure in a field. And no wonder this man, in his joy, sold everything he had. He realized the true value of that field, the priceless value of what he'd stumbled across. What is this treasure in our passage contained in? Clay pots. Cheap, small pottery lamps, perhaps, sold in the streets of Corinth. Like the followers of Jesus, with frail, brittle, mortal bodies, who nevertheless carry the light of the gospel, which comes from the glory of God in the face of Christ. This paradox is not accidental, it is deliberate. It shows that human weakness presents no barrier to the purposes of God. Indeed, that God's power is made perfect in weakness. We come to appreciate how powerful God really is when we acknowledge our limitations, our own weakness, and our own mortality. The contrast between the treasure of the gospel and the clay pots which contain it is intended, as it says here, to show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. As Paul wrote earlier on in his book, his tough experiences in Asia taught him to rely not on himself, but on God who raises the dead. In part two, as we've heard, Yagya will tell us something of his experiences. But have a look now at some of the things which Paul endured. He was hard-pressed, or cornered, we might say, like an ancient Greek fighter. Afflicted, surrounded and battered by troubles. This recalls the bitter experiences of the psalmist. Read through some of the psalms and see how God hears us, understands us, walks with us through our troubles. Did anyone know? Did anyone spot the psalm we had this morning in Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven? Which psalm does it come from? 103. Have a look at that one. Just one of many, to give you an idea. Paul was not crushed. God graciously made a way out for him. And so he still loved the Corinthians, who gave him such grief. And when we're knocked down, we're not knocked out. While Paul's opponents were powerful, they couldn't destroy his work. Again, like an ancient Greek fighter, he may be thrown. He may be down, but not out. In all this, he carries the death of Jesus in his body, the power that comes through weakness. And the life of Jesus not only sustains him, but works powerfully through him, bringing new life to others. This is one of the key themes that binds 2 Corinthians together. So what does it mean for us? We can readily agree that we're earthen, made of clay. We're easily broken and seemingly not worth much. Consequently, we might look down on our earthly state and not realise our value, how special we are in God's creation and in his scheme of things. Christ is the treasure that shines out of us. And we can do this because we're vessels. We're containers. Vessels can receive, be filled up, and overflow. And God wants all of us to come into his lowly vessels and shine out of us. Not only can we receive God, we can contain him and overflow with him to express his love, his power, and his goodness to a needy world. Let's pray together.
It's really a privilege to be here, and I really thank you so much for giving this opportunity to share about our life in Nepal and what we've been doing, and also share how God has been faithful to us and been leading us and guiding us in different situations in our life. And first of all, I would like to introduce ourselves. My name is Yogya Singh and wife Sally, and our new born baby daughter, gorgeous daughter, Vera Lynn. And we are living and working in Nepal as a missionary for a long time now. I've been missionary about 18 years, a little more than 18 years, and Sally's been 20 years, different part of the world, and we met there and married there and live there and work. And also, I would like to... we are grateful to have Vera, and for your prayers also, and we really appreciate and all of you guys been really great to us. I prayed for in a different situation. We really felt God's answer our prayer, you know, and we didn't feel alone. And I'm really blessed to have you guys around us. Yeah, thank you again for organizing meals for the last couple of weeks, and that was really blessed also because we were new parents, you know, trying to do, you know, making sure baby's all right, you know, and baby's trying to find her timetable also. So, like Andy was sharing in the first half, Christ is a treasure. Sign out of us. So it is really blessed, you know, we are really blessed, you know, to know our God, Jesus, who is a treasure and is within us. And so we could bless others and do, you know, God's work in different part of the world and people around us. I'm talking about hardship, and but I would like to ask you to close your eyes and for a little bit and think of a time when you faced a really difficult situation and experience. Think about how you felt at that time, and how did you deal with it, and how did God was in that situation, and when things were so cloudy and it's really hard to see, did you trust him to help through it? And I'm sure you have many questions at that time. And before Before I talk about this hardship, you know, I'm going to talk about Nepal also and situation in Nepal. We are Buddhist and Hindu majority country. Buddha was born in Nepal. 80% Hindus, 20% Buddhists, and 0.2% Christians. And we have 132 languages, and I only speak 5 or 6. yeah, I mean, I understand, you know, other languages also, but not fluently. We have a lot of different dialects, and also recently we have, like two and a half years ago, we had a big, two major earthquake, big earthquakes, and a lot of villages are, the houses, village houses are damaged, and a lot of people lost their life, more than 10,000 people lost their lives, and 600,000 houses were down, and people, a lot of people were injured. Even though, you know, I know it's not only in Nepal, there are in the different countries in the world, people suffer with a different situation and they go through different hard times and with a natural disaster or different things. But I know there are people in the world who wants to be a perfect even though we have a different situation in their lives. They want to be a perfect. And sometimes they end up acting or faking it. You know, when we see people, meet people in the streets or in our jobs or in the park, and people, when you say, how are you, even though they're going through so tough time and they still say, I'm all right, I'm okay. You know, but they, sometimes you don't know what, how people are going through. But we still like to show, you know, how good we are, or we want to have a good image in front of other people. And as a Christian also, you know, we, sometimes we feel that we are doing a favor, we are doing God a favor by having a good image. And we want to show people how victorious we are as a Christian. So hardship happens because Jesus has not come back yet. There is still sin in this world, which means there is a different problems and there is a different troubles or difficulties. We go through different situations. Like, you know, I said, you know, we had a big two major earthquake and a lot of people went through those kind of situations. And me, myself, when we're taking supplies to those mountain villages, and after, you know, finished our relief work and came home, you know, and I thought about it, I could have died there, or I could have, you know, hit by those big rocks coming, falling down, you know, and we keep going through, and when there was a tremor, you know, aftershocks, many aftershocks, and we couldn't sleep because there is no plain areas, it's all mountains. There is still sin in this world, and we have so many troubles and difficulties. That's why, you know, I'm trying to find good word in English, because as I speak, you know, I try to, you know, speak in Nepali as well. तपाई सन्चै हुनुहुन्छ सन्चै when we made a trip to one of the mountain villages and Neil was with me as I go to village I visit different houses I went to one family's house and he welcomed us and offered us tea and we sat down, we start talking about different lives and he had three daughter and one son, and two of his daughter was trafficked already he has one son and daughter. We saw him there, and then at the end of our conversation, or as we're about to leave, and he offered one of his girls to Neil so he could take with him. So, and there are a lot of families in Nepal, because they don't value girls, and it's sending girls to education or giving them a good life is like watering other man's garden. That's how people believe. So, and even though they are not Christian, still people go through a lot of different hard times. And for myself, with my friends, I was sharing gospel to one of the small villages, and there was about 50 or 60 people, and they were hearing God's story. We were sharing with them gospel, and the policeman came to me and said, "You can't share this foreign God in our village, so you might want to leave." And we were keep praying for people because people want to hear the gospel and good news, and they want to be healed from inside, you know. And there were sick people also; they want prayers from us. So and that we've been doing for 4 days, and this is the last day. We wanted to do something, and then this police and again came, and then they told us, "You can't do this anymore. I'm going to have to take you to my boss." So he took us to the police station, and then and police officers, you know, he said, "You are not allowed to share gospel anymore. So you're going to have to leave this town, or if you continue do this," he also threatened us, "if you continue sharing gospel, then I'm going to have to put you in the custody." So it is hard in Nepal. Because also we have so many opportunities, because it's a Hindu and Buddhist, and there is only 0.2 Christians, but we have a tough time also sometimes as we share gospel. Now is we are not allowed to share gospel anywhere publicly. So it is difficult country, and it's a different than here, you know. So we have our troubles, and we always get persecuted, like Andrew was saying. We sometimes feel abandoned, and like Jesus' disciples also faced many hardships in their life, because they were sticking in their faith. And they had to experience terrible death in their life. Some of them beheaded, crucified, and hung upside down. And many people are persecuted in different part of the world nowadays. You hear in the news every day. So recently, seven churches have been burned down in Nepal, and one of the church was bombed. So there was few people injured, there is a persecution. But we don't lose faith in God, and we instead become more powerful because God is in us, and we get encouraged through those weakness and through those persecution. Also, I think it's not because of our strength, it's not because of what we can do from our power, but it's from God, and Jesus gives us that energy and to speak more about Him and for His kingdom. Second Corinthians 4:4 says, you know, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the mind of those who don't believe. So it's really, as in this world, you know, there's a Satan's, you know, trying to actively working and in many different ways in this part of the world or in Nepal also, and God, His Spirit also trying to help us and to stir us up more so we could, you know, bring His kingdom. So, and we have our two battles going on every single day we face as soon as we wake up. So, in this battle, God doesn't want us to discourage, and He wants us to keep focus our eyes on Him and deal with the situation, have faith in Him, and He brings the his way out always. Amen. I know in this 2 Corinthians, Paul tried so hard is trying to find in a way so this people in Corinth understand and Jesus well from their heart, and earlier, you know, he also talked about you are the letter of Christ, you know, and he could have said you are the TV of Christ, or you could have said you are the laptop, or you know, or a little what you call iPad or something, but he said you are the letter of Christ. And letter, now you think it's really special, isn't it? And letter is in danger also. It's really delicate, and we need to be a letter of Christ. And so we need to protect ourselves from all these enemies and all these things. He wants us to be special, so we keep trusting God and not lose our heart. This part of the verse, he's talking about now jars of clay, and we are the pot, you know, and we already seen the picture before. So, clay pot is really special in Nepal. I grew up having drinking water from that clay pot, till I was 20 years old, you know, I grew up having water. I had to go to the taps, go down the hill and carry water, or my mother or my sister, they used to carry water and come home. And still some of the people in Nepal, they use this clay pot because it cools. We don't have a refrigerator and electricity, so it makes it cool, water cold. So it keeps in the right temperature. So everyone loves the clay pot in Nepal. And yet we don't have those shiny pots still, but, you know, we really miss a lot of people in Kathmandu, they really miss. And if they find a pot, and they'll just buy, you know, and it's, That's why there's not popular market, because certain tribes, they make those pots and then people just buy. And as a pot, you know, God wants us to sign, because we have a treasure, and His gospel. So God wants us to be. God wants us to, you know, bless others with that treasure. And then Paul also went through this situation in Corinth and deal with these struggles, so people would understand about God. And he went through many difficulties, many situations, and he experienced persecuted, and he really, honestly, he's saying and writing this letter to Corinth, I was struck down, I was persecuted, I was perplexed, I was put aside, you know, I was felt like I was crushed down, you know, but he's saying, but I was in despair, I wasn't destroyed, and there is a way out. And son Sarada, there's one girl, she faced persecution from her family. When we share gospel with her and we left the town, but she went to church, which is 2.5 hours away from her village, and her family found out she changed her religion, and her mother and parents told her, "Do you love your Jesus more, this foreign God Jesus more, or do you love us more?" And she was in the difficult situation. So she said, "I love you guys, and I love this God also who changed my life, and I feel hope." And she used to get, you know, bad headache all the time, and going to church, people prayed for her, and she felt much better. So she said, you know, "I love both," but her mother specifically, she started to persecute her more and started to speak bad word to her and even try to beat her, and so she couldn't stay in her house, so she has to leave her house and stayed with her friend's place, and who was a Christian. And then later on, she found the scholarship from one of the Bible colleges, and now she's studying, and she's really happy, and she loves to share gospel, and she goes around the different villages. So, you know, even though we have a persecution, you know, but God still uses a different way. He shows us the right path, so we go there, you know, and if we still keep our faith in Him, and He bless us, and give us a different way out. So how can we live a good, strong, victorious life, even though in our difficulties? Like I said, you know, many different stories. I like to, you know, bring a different story, because I think it's really, there is a lot of stories in my head, you know, I just wanted to share, but because of timing. And there is a one Sethi Parivar, she is a low caste, we have a different caste system in Nepal also. She had a mental problem, and people, the villages, when Christian people went to pray for her, And she started to feel better after 3 months praying for her. And some of our pastor and me and another couple of other guys, we went to pray for her every day. And it's not far from our house. But in that village, there's a special, like Newari tribes lives, and this people group, they believe in different, superstition beliefs. They sacrifice a lot of animals and goats. And they, after they find out we've been praying for her and she's feeling better, she was acting normal. And the people say, oh, she has a witch in her spirit. I don't know how you guys understand witch here in this country or not, but you know, witch is a big thing in Nepal. People stone witched people in Nepal. So they wanted to stone her and chase out from the village. And then we had to bring her in the church so she could have a shelter and people taking care of her. So, after being in the church, she gets more prayers, you know, and she started to feel better and she went home. She went home and she used to have a like really nightmare dreams also. She couldn't sleep. She wasn't sleeping for almost 3-4 years, and so she was feeling sick all the time, and her husband also started to threaten her, saying, you know, I'm going to marry another woman and so take care of this job in the house. So it was a really tough and bad situation in her life. And when she come home after feeling better, but still ignored by their parents and family, and they sort of like, oh, actually, you know, we'd like to do one big sacrifice. You're gonna have to agree with this. And after this sacrifice, if something changed, then you can still with our family. Otherwise, you know, I'm going to do something else because you are not working and you still have a problem. So I don't know how long this problem is going to last or something. So she wasn't angry with this sacrifice, goat sacrifice, but the family, they bought a really nice goat, healthy goat, you know, sacrifice for, you know, goat, healthy goat. And she prayed at that night before, you know, next day was a sacrifice day. And she prayed, Lord, you do something about it. If you're a real God and I want to follow you, and do something for this situation. That's all she prayed, and then she went to sleep. The next day, early in the morning, about 7 or 8, and the goat died. When she, you know, asked us to come and find, you know, talk to her, and I thought something happened, or you know, they had a big fight or something in the family. But she said, "You know what happened? I prayed this like this, and the goat died. I don't know what to do. Please help me." So it was really strange, and we all said, "You know, this is God trying to do something. Let's pray." And then we prayed, and then we left her there because we don't want to do, you know, involve in the family things. So we went home. And later, all the families are like, goat died. It was a healthy goat. And what happened? You know, and I'm like, okay, maybe your God is really upset with the situation we have. So do whatever you like to do. If you want to stay there, it's fine. If you want to stay home, I'll take care of children. He really scared, you know, with Jesus, you know. So since then, she's now is almost year and something, and she's going to church, and her husband also coming to church, and she was pregnant at that time also. She had a healthy baby, and they all coming to church, and it's really happy. And as I I was, again, you know, so blessed to see, you know, how God has been working through our life and through our ministry. God can do and use any of us here. You know, God can bless us, you know, and as we come and have faith, and he can use any of us, no matter we are from Nepal or people from the village or in this country, God is still can do amazing things, unexpected things from our life. I just want to, you know, share one story again, because of the timing. The village I'm working, I've been worked in that area for quite a long time now. The Karmajit Tamang, he had his heart problem, and he went to doctor and check, and doctor said you need an operation. So it's before the earthquake, and it's after the earthquake, and I built his house, and because his house was completely down, and his family was scattered and living in different places, and a little in the tops, and in fact, still people are living under the tops. And the government got like $4.2 billion, and because of unstable government, people are still, they're living under the tops, and there's not a lot of change. So this guy, we managed to share gospel with him, and his wife was suffering from asthma also, and we pray for her, and she started to feel better. This guy was scared, you know, and whenever we said, whenever you're scared with your heart racing, or you keep praying, and we will be praying for also. You are not alone, but that's how we encourage him. So it's been 3 months. He still doesn't have that problem, but is still praying for God, you know, for healing. And after 6 months or so, he went to check a doctor again, and then the doctor said, oh, your heart is normal. There's nothing wrong. So I don't know what changed. I thought we needed operation. So he come home really happy, you know, and so blessed. And he talked to his family and his neighbors, and now he's saying we need one church here. The God, this Jesus, and this foreign God is really powerful. We need to follow him. He's the one, only one who listens our prayers. And I know in Nepal there is 33 million gods people worship. 33 million gods. It's more than the population. But way more than population. But people are always, you know, worshipping this 33 million gods for many different reasons. They worship to have a child, one God. They offer a sacrifice to get wisdom. They, people go for, you know, to protection and to do the good business, and many different gods. But when we talk about Jesus, and he's the only one God, and you don't need a sacrifice, you don't need to offer your money or anything. You just bring your heart, and then they people get surprised, and they come to the Lord. And then what happens is they get healed by different problems, and then they are blessed, and they their life is changed. So, yeah, Paul also was trying to mention all this. So the people in Corinth understand well, because he's been gone through so many ups and downs in his life, and all the he wants people in Corinth to understand is to keep trusting God and have faith in him, and God will find you a right way, and the way out where the the